for your special.
Y'all are more than welcome and even encouraged to sing along with us if you know this, because we're not really singers that much, so we're trying to get there. But please help us. It's called Give Us Clean Hands. I think it's been done here before.
Let's all stand as we sing God's Not Dead.
is not dead. He is alive. God is not dead. He is alive. God is not dead. He is alive. I feel him in my hands. I have him in my feet. I have him in my heart. And he's all over me. Sing, God's not dead.
Give him a hand clap of praise. Victory is mine. It was a victory to get here this morning.
Yes.
And be here this afternoon. It's a victory.
Amen.
Over death, hell, and the grave.
Yes, sir.
As Brother Willie and I were talking about a few minutes ago, as you get older, it's much more victory. to get up and come to church. We used to get up and do, and we just have to pace ourselves. So we're going to let him pace himself today and do a little bit longer than he did this morning. We're just getting his wheels started this morning. So we're going to let him continue on and finish. His flight's not till 9 o'clock, so I'll get him there in time. Don't worry about that. But about 3 good hours would be good. I'll be waiting on him. Y'all will be gone. The lights will be off, so we'll be good. He okay? He's good. He's refreshed. He took him a little nap.
Amen.
But just remember, Bob and Brother Joe, they're on their way back, I'm sure, from Brother Andre's. They're getting close. Just remember them. Remember Wednesday night, I'll be preaching. Saturday, there's a wedding for Brother Lauren and his new bride. And then Sunday, on the 7th, this is next Sunday, after the first service, regular service, first service. Second service, we'll have a vow renewal, baptism, and a baby dedication. And even if you want to be rededicated yourself, we'll just have a whole service for that. All right? The baptismal pool will be ready. It'll be warmed up. I'll come up here and plug it in a day or two ahead and let it get really good and warm. And then we'll have a baptism. If you want to get baptized, you don't have to tell me. Well, I'll just be ready, and you be ready to be baptized. The vow renewal will be whatever y'all, anybody wants to do it. Need to get you a flower for your sweetheart. All right? And we'll have that next Sunday afternoon. And then the next Saturday, and also, oh, let me tell you, next Sunday after the first service, let's go ahead and take, it's communion, so let's go ahead and take communion. That way we'll have the second service to do the baptisms and all. We'll have communion after the first service, Sunday, next Sunday, because it'll be the first Sunday of the month, all right? Tomorrow will be May the 1st, all right? So we'll have communion next Sunday morning after the first service, and then we'll have a break, and then we'll have the vow renewals and all that after the second service, all right? And then the next Saturday from 5 to 6, we'll have prayer meeting, and then from 6 to 8, we'll have Bible study, all right? That will be the second Saturday in May, all right? May the 20th, which is the following Saturday, at 3 o'clock, we'll be having a youth service. Brother William Borlamont will be here with us. Like I said, we're expecting to have several that hadn't been here before, and we're expecting some of the Borlevon family to come. You know, that's hundreds and thousands right there. So, okay, I exaggerated, hundreds. So, but his brother Sam and several of them are coming, so they're going to be here with their kids. So we're just good. It's good that they're coming, and we'll all get together. Then on May the 21st, we'll just have one service. Brother William will be doing it. And then we got some things a little bit later on in the month. But just remember this. Keep him in prayer. Tell Brother Willie, we're going to tell him before he starts how good a job he's doing. Amen? Amen. He's solid. I like solid brothers. I like people that you can talk to that you know you can talk to. And being part of the message, like we were talking about, people like Dad and different ones years ago blazed the trail so that we could preach more free and have liberty to preach the gospel.
Yes.
Because they were in the bushes and hedges with all the different doctrines, and we've heard them, and you've heard some, and thank God if you've never heard of them. But there's been some really strange ones and bad ones, and Brother Dale and the different ones of that group they just mowed everything down and made it better for young people like me and Brother Willie to be able to bring a message that I'm like him. It's the greatest message there ever was on the face of the earth. Amen. God did send us a prophet. Amen. But more important, He sent His word through that prophet so that we don't have to depend on that prophet to come back. Hello, somebody. We ain't got to depend on that prophet to come back and tell us anything. He's already told us. He made the Bible so much clearer. He gave us clarity and freedom to be able to know the mind of God. Not guess that it's the mind of God, but to know the mind of God.
Right.
And know what the plan is. You know, we've been preaching on the same thing, plan of redemption. You know, everything hinges around the plan of redemption.
Amen.
All right? And let's listen to our brother. Give him time. He can come on and let's sing whatever you want to sing. You pick it. You're the song leader. So, everybody like Brother Michael does a good job leading singing that. He does a good job downstairs doing the young adult Sunday school class, but the only thing, the problem I got, I didn't have to make cookies for them to come to my class. He has to make cookies to get them to come to his class. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on.
mind if I make a joyful noise. I hope they could pick me up. That might be a task, but you know, I sing a little bit different. And the only person that could kind of, my wife, she don't have no problems. She been praying for me for a long time, and maybe my son, but you know, don't fall out or nothing like that. I'm just a sense of humor. You may be seated. I'm just gonna sing a little chorus of this song. I like to sing this song every now and then. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. Oh, you've been so thank you, Lord. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my care, the more you take control. The more you lift me up, and every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Let us stand. We'll sing another verse. The more that I surrender, the more that I surrender. Yeah. The lighter. Oh, the more that I release my, the more you control. Oh, the more that I can humble myself, the more. Easier to understand the road I'm traveling. Oh, no more wavering or wondering. I'm standing on, yes, and I know I'm headed to my future. And the voice I hear is yours alone. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Oh, the more And every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. We appreciate the Lord this afternoon. Amen. Singing that song just kind of brings back memories of Sister Lewis. I had the privilege of pastoring her for a few years. That's Brother Jack's. That's my aunt and Brother Jack's aunt. She's my aunt through marriage. And that's Brother Jack's aunt, his mother's sister. And there'll be times in church, a preacher be preaching and she be writing songs. It's just so unfortunate that she passed away when she did, because she left behind hundreds and hundreds of songs that she never had the opportunity to just even put music to. And we don't even know where to find half of the things that she wrote that we could try to put music, but we thank God for the things that she did. And my wife kind of always had to put the tune to it. They would write it, but my wife would kind of produce it for them. So we appreciate it. It's a blessing to know that song has circled the world. Amen, amen. Let us read our scripture this evening, Philippians chapter 4. We'd just like to say how much we've appreciated. I know it's a kind of a whirlwind short trip, but sometimes that's the way that you have to do it. But I've felt welcome since I've been here, and like I say, I salute Brother Samuel Dale for all of the efforts that those elders put forth to make it easy so that we could begin to even understand what we had and what we were preaching. I remember when I first started preaching, I didn't really know what I was preaching, didn't really have a grasp. And then God threw me in the deep and said, now you're going to take this church over. And I'm like, huh? You got to be kidding me. No, it's no joke. You got to do it. So by the grace of God, it was a blessing that we had the opportunity to, by way of medium, to just come across great men of God that had already had it kind of broken down so that we could halfway understand it. And then the rest, God had to just kind of quicken it to us. And so my hat's off to him, and I appreciate him very much for his effort and his stand in this area. I know that it was not easy. With my little portion that I've been able to do, I know it hasn't been easy. So them coming up during a time where it wasn't broken down, we didn't have MP3s and we didn't have all of this. You know, brothers used to come to the pulpit with a stack of quote books like this. See, I'm kind of at the tail end of those eras, but we thank God for him and for his wife. He never could have done it by himself. We thank God for her. Right? We like to salute the men of God, but also without the women of God, you know, by their side, giving them strength, you know, behind the scenes, they wouldn't be able to do what they do. So we appreciate the Lord. Also, Brother Dale's wife. Where she's at, Brother Dale? Okay, there she go. So we appreciate you also standing in the gap. Amen. And that just goes for every minister. That just goes for all of us. We what are we without our wives? Amen. Okay, let us read the scripture, and we'll just kind of get started and just see how the Lord will lead us. The 18th verse says, but I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of, I'm not going to try to pronounce that, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory in, by Christ Jesus. Gracious Father, we just thank you. We praise you, O God, this evening. We just trust that you will just have your way in the service, O God, this evening. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. We're using as a topic the purpose of the crushing. And this morning, we were just trying to draw a background and just help us to understand that, you know, we serve a sovereign God. And you know, when you could understand the purposes and the whys, it's like, you know, driving a car. You know, we have things in it. And to the carnal mind, you might, why is all this in there? Well, it's the thing that's needed. It's the things that's necessary to be able to get that thing down the road. Right? Amen. No matter how pretty it is, if you don't have, no matter if you got an electrical car or you got a gas car, without the batteries and electrical, that thing ain't moving. It look nice in your yard. You can shine it and you can polish it all you want to. You know, but you gotta have some batteries, or you gotta have some gas and things of that nature, something to power it. So you have to keep those different things in mind. We just don't wanna be like the carnal world today, and you know, people have their own opinions about things. Well, this ain't necessary and that ain't necessary, and you know, God this and God that. See, for me, it's easy for me. I feel like anything that God does, God did it because it was necessary. Amen, right. It had to be done. Right. I like to say that again. It had to be done, and it had to be done the way that it was done. Right? Amen. I mean, when we think about you know, the fall and sin coming into existence, you know, it wasn't by chance that, you know, God would veil himself, come down. A price had to be paid. But the cruelty, right, of sin and the price that had to be paid, and him having to go through capital punishment, right? But if you look back at the picture, when Adam got the revelation, or not Adam, oh God, y'all gave me food. Y'all gave me food. So y'all might have to help me. Abel, my mind. Food and sleep don't work good together. But when Abel got the revelation of what was necessary and what was needed by God, right? He dragged a lamb, and you know, it wasn't pretty. It you know, I don't know if we would have made it, right, some folk, because we like pretty things. Cain brought something that was beautiful, something that he cultivated within himself, something that, you know, in today's society, you know, people like nice stuff. And, you know, Cain came out there, man, got the lamb, and he went to just pow, just hitting it, right? Blood everywhere. But he needed something that he could identify himself with, right? And so... You know, Christ could not have come and had an easy death if the representation of Christ died under. That was cruel. Come on. Because let's think about it. If somebody held you down and started hitting you with a rock, you'd be laying there like, hey, that's cruel, buddy. That hurts. And I'm bleeding. You know, but the lamb sacrificed himself for you and I. It wasn't a pretty picture, right? It wasn't, you know, when Easter time come, you see pink bunny rabbits and you see all of this. And it's like, y'all don't get it. Y'all really don't get it. It was nothing nice. Calvary wasn't nothing nice about Calvary. to be drugged there, you know, you got a cross, you done been beat, let's say this. All of that was necessary for the program of God. And see, here's what I like about it. As gruesome as it was, it benefited me. Now, I don't know about y'all. I don't know what it done for y'all. But I benefited from the cruelty. God allowed himself to go through that because a price had to be paid. I like that, right? It wasn't nothing nice. You know, thank God that, you know, he didn't choose me, fellas, because we wouldn't have been redeemed. You know, it was difficult so much that, I mean, let's be realistic. Jesus went to Gethsemane. He was like, well, is there any way I could get out of this? Right? Just having a knowledge of what he had to go through. Because let's face it, your flesh don't want to hurt. Your flesh don't want to die. Is that right? When the man of God is preaching the word of God, trying to bring this subject to the word, it don't want to die. It don't want to give up. It don't want to give in. It just kind of want to have its way. You know? And so that's why we look funny at the preacher when they preaching. And we don't hardly give them an amen sometimes. Right? Because, you know, it's something cutting, and there's things in our lives that we want to do, you know, but God's like, no, that ain't going to get you where you want to go. See? And so you kind of got a doubt of that, right? Amen. But, you know, when I look at Calvary, and the picture of Calvary, it wasn't nothing easy, but it was necessary. It was necessary, right? And we benefit because of it, right? I might maybe want to read us a little quote as we kind of get started. Y'all all right? Quote from I Know 1960. And we want to start maybe somewhere around the 74th or 75th verse, maybe the 75th verse. It says, see, it takes a crucifixion, right? Amen. We think that Christianity is just this, you know, nice something. Hey, somebody should have told me. I thank God for it now when I first became a Christian. I didn't know what was going to take place. You know, I was just like, praise the Lord, I'm glad I'm saved. Right? But then I started realizing, yeah, you're saved, but you got to die. There's a cross to bear. Right? Amen. He said, it takes a crucifixion. It takes a crushing of a flower. Right? To bring the perfume from it. It takes a crushing of a life. I like this part. To get the best out of it. Amen. Right? Yeah. Hey, Brother Dale was kind of preluding to some of the things that I wanted to say. Now, you know, more than ever, I understand why God allows. And I've been going through a lot of things the last 5 years. Right? But I realized that God saw that it was so important to just crush me. Yeah. That's right, bro. y'all probably say, oh, no. I realize I got a greater understanding now. Right. It's like God crushing me, realizing that there was more there that he wanted to kind of get out of me. Amen. To make a better... make me a better version of my previous self. And that was the only setup, the only provided way in order to get out of us what's in us. Is that right? Amen. God purposed that. Right? To crush, right? That's just God's method.
Yeah. Right.
And sometimes we don't like it, especially modern day Christianity.
No,
right, right. We like this cute religion now.
Right.
If you kind of look at the nominal world, they got this real cute religion with cute sayings. Yeah. You know, a modernistic, Easteristic, if I could use that term, type of Christianity of beautiful flowers and praise, and everything is nice and nothing is crushing,
right,
nothing is cutting,
yeah.
Right? But everything is nice,
yeah.
Right? But I don't want that because that won't bring out the realness,
right?
The fullness of Christ.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
It takes a crushing.
Amen.
See, I was enjoying the brother's Sunday school lesson. See, it takes that ideology away so that we can really understand God's provision and how God uses things.
Right?
And what God does things. So when God starts to crush us, we don't bail out. Right? We just kind of say, okay, God, if you brought me to it, you'll bring me through it. Right? If you're allowing me to be crushed, it has its purpose. It's for a reason. That's something that, you know, you're trying to get out of me, get from me. And it just takes this. It takes this. It took a crushing.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. See, it takes the crucifixion. It takes a crushing of the flower to bring out the perfume.
Yep. Right.
No crushing, no perfume.
Right? Right.
Right? Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. It's got to be God's provided way. Yep. You know, God has a provided way for a baby to get, right? You intellectualize it and, okay, baby, you know, when you need something, I'm going to put this little bell up here.
Yeah.
Baby like, I got a bell for y'all, right? You're going to hear it, too. It's going to be loud and long till you get up in here. It's kind of, you know, and I'll say that we've got to be careful even around the word of God. Now, I don't kind of believe in legalism, but I still believe that you got to come God's provided way.
Amen.
Also,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
So if God sees it's necessary, it's necessary.
Amen.
Amen. Whose thoughts supersedes the thoughts of God?
Right.
Who did God consider when he was putting his plan and program, amen, into order, if I could use that term, right? Glory to God. He definitely didn't want my opinion, because I would have been like, whatever you do, you can crush them, don't crush me. I don't want to go through anything. Right? But it don't work like that. It don't work like that. Amen. Glory. And I'm grateful for that more so now than ever. You know, as we're nearing the coming of the Lord, and we're trying, God is trying to get us, you know, in rapturing condition. I believe he got to crush us a little bit more. You got to crush us. It's still so much that I think that, you know, we're converted, but with still things that we're holding on to.
Right.
Glory to his wonderful name. I'm guilty too. I'm not one of those types of preachers because I got a suit and a tie, but I'm a human being.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And that's human elements.
Yeah.
And the world is sticky.
Yeah.
Right? And we all in a contest. Right? And the devil's trying to pull all of us. So it's I'm in a battle. Every preacher could say he's in a battle. My battle may not be Brother Dale's battle, but I'm quite sure he's got a battle.
Yeah.
As long as he's a human being. Now, if he's a robot or something, maybe he may not have the same battle. battles, but I'm quite sure he's flesh and blood, right? Oh, hallelujah. So he says it takes a crushing of a life to get the best out of that there is. He says that's the reason Jesus had to be crushed to bring forth what he was. And we cannot stop right there. It's to bring out what we are. As sons and daughters of God, we got to go through this crushing. The crushing of a life. Right? The crushing of not just your dad, the young people too. Right? You got to be kind of crushed. See, it takes a crushing of a life to get the best there is. That's the reason Jesus had to be crushed, to bring forth what he was. He could not stand before the crucifixion and say, all power in heaven and earth is given into my hand. But after the crucifixion, so you see how necessary that was, right? He couldn't stand and say, all power in heaven and earth is given to my hand. But what he did do, it taking a crucifixion first, it taking the crushing, right? See that? It took that. That's what it takes, right? Let's look at a quote from The Cruelty of Sin, 1953. I think it's starting at verse 8. Brother Branham, and one of the things we know, sin is cruel. We can see this is a cruel age that we living in. We seeing things that we did not see years ago. Now, I'm reminded, and you know, people a little bit older than me talk about they used to could leave their doors open and go to the market and stuff like that, and you ain't have to really worry about nobody coming into your dwelling, right? You can't do that now. I lock my doors, I lock my car doors in my yard. And I live on an acre. Why are you locking your doors? Because people have no respect. It used to be a time where people wouldn't eat you and you have to worry about a person coming up in here and by. Because there was a reverence for ministers. There was a reverence for churches. Now, reverence for nobody. Right? Amen. But we thank God that Jesus Christ, you know, went to Calvary. He says, God, may every individual here go home tonight with this on their mind, thinking of what a sacrifice. I think that's with that statement, we should always think about what a sacrifice was made for me. Because it's an individual thing, right? What did it cost to redeem?
Yes.
Right? I couldn't pay the price.
No, sir.
Right? Nope. I needed redeeming, but I couldn't pay the price.
Right.
And to think about what he went through,
absolutely,
I benefit from.
Amen.
That's what I like.
Yes,
what? As cruel as it might have seemed, Roman capital punishment, right?
Amen.
I benefited from that.
Yes.
I'm able to stand here tonight because of that.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Could you imagine, think about it, if that had not have happened, how could we ever begin to talk about, amen, redemption? I mean, we saw different things under the shadow. Right? But we needed a real reality to those things.
Right. Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Even John on the Isle of Patmos said, who is worthy?
Nothing
could move. He started weeping.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
But thank God, amen, God had provisions.
Amen.
Right? So that we could benefit from those things.
Amen.
Because of those things.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. I'm grateful for that. Amen. Tonight.
Amen.
Being an ex-drug abuser, y'all don't really know how much I appreciate what he did for me. Is that right? And his leadership to bring me, amen, to this, amen, present day light. Come on, church. Now, I'm up here preaching, you know, but man, when I read quotes like that, I really know, because I really know real bondage. See, if you've never been on crack and all of that, you might have known a little bondage, but let me tell you something. When those things get you, heroin and crack cocaine and all of that stuff, brother, let me tell you something. That's real bondage. Alcohol and, you know, all sorts of perverseness. That those are real, real, real bondages, man, that you need a real, real, real deliverer. And then let me tell you something. I look back 35 years, right? I know I was saved in the mind of God, but 35 years ago, I recognized who I was. You know, I always in the mind of God, but I came to and a birth took place.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
And now I can see the word. Let me tell you something. I don't take these things for granted.
Right.
I don't
right.
take
right.
these
right.
things lightly.
Right.
I really appreciate it.
Amen.
Appreciate these things. Right?
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
He says, what a sacrifice. What it cost to redeem. What did it cost God?
Yeah,
right?
Yep.
It cost God the greatest price. It cost Christ his life.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
He was the rose of Sharon. Yeah. But to get the perfume out of the rose, you have to crush it up.
Amen.
Yep. Right?
Amen.
His beautiful life was crushed.
Amen.
A young man, 31 and a half,
yep.
33 and a half, right?
Yep.
That we, watch this next statement, that we might live.
Amen.
You don't really know life until you convert it. You know, you can't really comprehend what real life is until you convert it.
Amen.
You know, like I say, I was 15 before. 16 and young and in church. I thought, man, that's just for old folk. I got time. And, you know, I felt like all of that. But then as, you know, you start getting older, you realize ain't no age limit to it. That I'm going to tell you something. The earlier, the better.
Amen.
Even the prophet makes statements like that. He wish he would have got, and he got saved at a relatively young age.
Yeah.
But you know what? I wish something would have really struck me at a really younger age where I didn't go out and scar my life.
Right?
by the world. I didn't scar it all up. And I still have to live, even though I'm converted and God don't remember those things no more. You know, the devil is a grave robber, an ocean robber. He goes down there to try to remind you, you know. But I just kind of have to cast that stuff down and let him know that wasn't me. That wasn't me. That was somebody else, some impersonator or something of that nature. But, you know, you have to appreciate. I'll say this to every young person in here. God has given you the greatest opportunity of your life.
Amen.
Take it.
Amen.
Take it.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Allow God to have the preeminence in your life and to take control and to lead you and guide you. Amen. No matter how the devil try to paint a picture of how nice and how pretty and all of those things that the world is, that's only, amen, a brown grass with a green light shining on it. Come on. That's exactly what that is. He make it seem like, boy, the grass is green, more green over there. No, it's just a brown. Brown grass with a green light shining on it. Amen. This is greener pastures. It don't get no greener. Not on this side, it don't get no greener. This right now speaks of a better. Speaks of a greater. But you gotta accept this right now. Right? Man, you don't wanna live with all of that. Okay. I like that. He said he's the rose, but to get the perfume out of the rose, you have to be crushed. My. We thank God for it, right, church? You thank God for it because we benefit. We benefit. Okay, I'm trying to get this next little quote. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to preach 3 hours.
Keep going, bro.
I ain't never been a 3-hour preacher in all my life. Maybe two. Maybe two, but it won't be tonight. I'm trying to get this computer. See, I'm old-fashioned still, too, but I'm trying to do the new thing. Yeah. You know, I'm a paper guy. Brother Dale was telling me about his dad and how he used to do things. And I remember those things and watching the video and how everything was just, you know, he would come out and everybody would have a package of quotes. And a lot of effort went into that. Amen. It's easy for all the computer guys, but for us, it kind of computer illiterate guys, this stuff is difficult. I'm trying to learn. I'm not even where Brother Dale at. But he said, you know what? He just got smart guys in the church. Yeah, smart guys. You know, I got smart guys. Brother Jack is a computer major, and his everything is put in order and polished and in line and in files and everything else. When I come up here, it's like, man, computer just work for me. You know, if it start acting up, he know how to fix it. Me, I go off the cuff. I'm a little old school. But, Law of Grace 1954. Start at 1:13. He says, now notice, he said, I just feel good. I do too. Look, Jesus said he was the rose of Sharon, right? He was offered to God as a sweet-smelling savior. Well, when I look at these things, I'm grateful for it because let me finish this and then I come out. And then when we become unbearable before God, and so to excuse the expression, so stinky. Right? I'll tell you what, in the sovereignty of God, God knew, and we the same way, we don't like nothing stink. Come on. Not unless y'all different than me. I remember, you know, some years ago, we used to have this guy, I don't know, he was a hobo. That's exactly what he was. He used to jump trains. I think he lived in Alabama somewhere, but he would always come down to Florida somewhere. He had a family and all of that. But, you know, alcohol kind of messed him up, and he used to jump trains. And he would be in our community, and he would come to church from time to time. I don't know what happened to him. It's been years since I've seen him. But I'm going to tell you something. When he would come in, you knew he was in the building. You knew he was in the building and folk getting squirming. And if he sat by somebody, they would move their seat. You know, they would move pocketbook and all. C- because he had a smell, but I enjoyed him, you know, as a brother. We're a little bit different, you know, than sisters. We used to tolerate the smell, and you couldn't really say anything to the saints, you know, because, boy, you talk about months and months of smell. And he needed perfume. He needed a bath. He needed a good washing. And he needed a perfume. He needed somebody to provide for him. Right? What was necessary to change. Right? How he smelled. Glory to God. So you see, you know, God realizing, you know what, Calvary is so necessary, right? Because, you know, in the flesh and in unbelief before conversion, you ain't what you think you are. Well, I'm educated. I got a lot of money. I'll say that again. You aren't what you think you are before God. Right? Amen. Amen. Calvary was so necessary, right, to produce a perfume so that we could smell better. Huh? Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Y'all don't believe that. But I'm grateful for that. Right. So that, see, had not Calvary taken place, all that was locked up in him. All of what was necessary and all that we would benefit from was locked up in him. It was all locked up. Right. Amen. But it needed to be released.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
So that I could benefit from that.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen. Because I was smelly.
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. Your mama used to ever tell you this. Oh, you think you grown now. You're just smelling yourself.
Yeah.
Y'all, some of the old timers know what I'm talking about. You smelling your muss. Yeah, come on. You know, you get to becoming a teenager, and you feel like you know everything. You know, my uncle. I remember back in the day. You know, me and one of my cousins. We used to work with his dad, and he used to get so mad at us because he would say, "Boy, will y'all shut up?" He said, y'all got the answers before you even know what the question is. I know. What do you know? I ain't even gave you the question.
Right?
Young people don't think I'm picking on you.
Yeah.
You know? But it's the truth. How, here's what I don't understand. How at 15, you know more than your parents.
Yeah.
That's 50. And then we confide in people that's 15. And how do they know what's good for you at 15? With no job, no real skill, no developmentality, and the young boys, all they do is this. Now, back in the day when you were 15, you was working. You know? But nowadays, I wouldn't marry none of my younger sons off. They have some guys and everything, but I come home, and they work. But when I get home, my son be sitting there hollering at the game. Or he might be talking to one of his homies, you know, and they be talking about the game, And I'd be sitting there like, son, you 21. You need to kind of be getting yourself together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't think you're going to be staying with me forever. At some point, you got to leave him. The eagle is going to start stirring the nest. Throwing all your stuff out. God, hey, I want peace. You know what was nice, right? Yesterday when we got in town, we went straight to Brother Dale's parents' house. And man, when I walked in there, I was like, wow. Wow. Everything was nice. Everything was in order. And Brother Dale said, this is a museum. He said, man, this is a museum in here. You know, they polish things, and I'll be like, well, why you polish? This, he like, man, my mom had, I'm saying to myself, one day, Lord. One day. I envisioned this for myself. I was kind of walking around and looking around. Because right now I'm remodeling my house and stuff is everywhere and I'm tripping over stuff. And then I got three boys and they mama spoiled them. And it's like I want to scream like, dudes, guys. And they get mad when they hit, when I get to talking, everybody's head go down. And they don't really want to hear me. And I have to apologize for what I'm fixing to say ahead of time to make it easy for them. To get it, to comprehend, because I'm that mean daddy. When I talk, I'm like E.F. Hutton. Everybody listen. One of my sons used to tell me, yeah, dad, we know this is your house. You ain't got to keep telling us. Yes, I do, evidently. Got to keep letting y'all know this is my house. This is not, y'all don't pay no bills here. Y'all live here for free. And they think because they give me $150, $100 here and there, you know, because I've, you know, I'm making them now, finally, they think that they doing good. I wish I could go back to my mama's house, you know, and live for $150. Woo, woo! Right, y'all? Every husband and wife ought to know what I'm talking about. You can go back home with all of your children and everything. $150? Oh, my goodness. That'll be great. Feel like Tony the Tiger now. Great. But it don't work like that. You gotta be responsible. And that's why you gotta be crushed, and that's why I enjoyed the testimony this morning. Right? Oh my, I like that. I'm having a good time. Amen. He said, but let's get back to it. He says, I feel good. Look, Jesus, he was the rose of Sharon. He was offered to God as a sweet smelling savor. And then when we become unbearable before God, what? Us? I'm going on. Because y'all going to say, that's the tyrant. That's the tyrant. Because sometimes we do. We become unbearable before God. Let's think about Brother Branham and you know, his mindset when he walked into that restaurant that day. And he saw this old woman and the police and just the scenery. And just look at his attitude. You know, he like almost like, Lord, rain judgment down on this guy. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I think you need to go through some more. Right? Come over here and let me talk to you a minute. Right? Let me give you a real view. Mm-hmm. Right. Right? Of yourself. We talk about a God called prophet, right? But he needed a little crushing. We know he got a crushing at the early part of his ministry, right? And that was heartbreaking to lose as a young man your wife and your daughter. Man, that will. I don't know if I could have handled that. I don't know how many men that would have been strong enough to handle that. You lose your wife and your baby and almost lose your baby boy, you know, because of disobedience.
Right?
Because her daddy, got in the way of what God's will was for your life. And God just had to show you who was boss. I'm bigger than your father-in-law now. You know, I have ordained you. You were born for such a time as this. You was born to fulfill scriptural purpose that will be fulfilled. Right? Amen. You know, I think it was a lot more to it than even that. Because Brother Branham said, watching his little Sharon Rose suffer the way that she suffered, right? He said every time cross-eyed children would get in the prayer line, why like this? The sovereignty of God. See, we look at Brother Branham and all things work together for the good, right? It may not be good, but God's plan, God's purpose, right? Glory to God. God allowed that to happen, right? God allowed that to happen for the purpose, knowing that there would be so many cross-eyed children. See, we see this part. But this part mattered to God, too.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. This part mattered to God. By the time where Brother Branham I'm paraphrasing, talking about, you know, praying for this and, you know, different people and different things. And God sent a mother possum to him. Right? God was concerned.
Come on, man.
Right?
Yes.
When humanity probably wanted to just take the gun, because I know if that was me, in the flesh, and no leading, I probably would have just ran in the house, got a gun, and just boom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But God was concerned.
Amen.
Right? About that mother possum.
Yep.
God was.
Amen.
Not that humanity was. Right? But God was. God said, I got a man on the earth. Go to him. He'll get you. He'll get you what's needed. Right? I've crushed him enough. Right? In him is ability to pray. Right? He'll get you on your feet. Right? Glory to God. So, it's necessary. See, what was in Jesus Christ, I needed.
Amen.
I needed blood.
Right?
I need healing. Because you can't preach one without the other. You can't preach redemption without healing. Right? It's a dual atonement. And I heard him talk about sick people. Right? So that was needed. God knew that with his stripes. Right? Oh, that was cruel. It was. You know what? Sometimes, you know, thinking about what people go through, things aren't always nice.
Right?
That we go through. But it's so necessary sometimes for us to go through that. To experience these things. Glory to God. See, I could talk about things that if you never was on drugs, you can't really talk about.
Come on.
Amen. See, you can't really comprehend, intellectually maybe,
right,
if you study enough books,
right,
or something. Well, I don't have to study books,
right,
to talk to you about, you know, drug addictions and gang violence and all that. I don't have to talk to you about from book knowledge. I could talk from personal experience,
right?
Right. And we're living in an age now of gang culture more so than it's ever been, right? And the influence and the impact, right? And these things got to be preached around the revealed word.
Amen. Yeah,
because there's a constant tug and pull,
right,
on our young generation.
Right.
I mean, you know, this like I said earlier, this building shouldn't be able to hold the amount of people that have probably come in and out, and the families and their children, and you know, sometimes their children's children. I think back, you know, coming up and you know, in the different churches, the churches that I pastored and the churches that I'm a part of, the amount of people that have come in the doors and sat for a season, and all of that. If they were there, and their families and their children and their children and children, my God, we'd have to build big buildings. But I guess the scripture said, fear not, little flock. And so you just have to appreciate being a Christian. You got to appreciate, really appreciate having servants like, you know, I've met today and that I've known. You can't take that for granted. Right? That's not skim milk to have somebody who is willing to put themselves on the line.
Right?
And pastor in the church for 23 years, I think just about everybody in the building talked about me. In a negative light. And all I was ever trying to do was to point them to Jesus Christ. Brother Smiley, I need to talk to you. Okay. I just talked about you, and I just want to apologize. They're not going to fully tell you what everything they said, but they're just going to tell you just enough. I talked to them, and then they break down and crying and all that. And I'm a man. I'm a human being.
Right.
You know, you have to say, sister, brother, you know, I forgive you, you know, and come out the next service and still preach Christ to them.
Yeah.
And not be offended,
yeah,
not hold any animosity, or nothing of that nature, because you got to realize they were anointed by the devil. To give you a trial.
That's right.
To crush you.
Yeah.
To make you that much more dependent upon him.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Glory to God. I was telling him when I was preaching this message at home, you know, I probably get to the quote here, but I just kind of get it out there. You know, he was the lily of the valley.
Yeah.
And from that lily, when it's crushed, we get opium. Right? We get opium. And opium is for soothing. I don't know about y'all, but I think I wouldn't be here this afternoon if it wasn't for the opium. Come on. Something that'll give me a peace,
yes,
that'll quiet,
yes,
right?
Yes,
that something that quiets my spirit,
yeah,
when it just seems like, you know, my world is falling apart,
yeah,
and I don't have the answers to the questions, right?
Right.
It's just there's something that I. Because of Calvary that's Amen. Been given, that I benefit,
right?
I benefit from it.
Right.
See, This opium, it keeps me mellow.
Yeah.
It keeps me from like ping.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
right.
it just keeps me even keel.
Yeah. Right.
Even keel. No, I try to be every now and then I get a little riled up, but then he comes in to keep me settled. Especially, you know, all of us, because we rub elbows with the world. Most of us still in the workforce, and we dealing with bosses and just people who aren't converted and things of that nature. You need something that'll give you a peace when you come home. When you want something that settles you when you clock out and you sit in your car and you take a deep breath and say, boy, I'm glad the 8 hours over.
Yeah.
Something that'll give you a peace that when you get to the door of your house, you don't explode on your wife when she say, hey, honey.
Yeah. Right.
You know, come on, somebody.
Yeah, right.
Or vice versa. You know, some of the sisters still work.
Right.
You know, you get to the door and you like kids screaming and hollering. And you like, yeah, right?
Yep, right?
Y'all know what I'm talking about. I had 6 little ones. They were stair steps, right? And they was good when they was out. But when they was home, they were everywhere, into everything. And they were screaming, and they was hollering, and they was having a good time. But Daddy just got off work. Work hard. Construction is hard. Construction is hard on the body, especially the older you get. And then, not only that, Daddy got a church. And people be calling you. And you got to study. And they hollering, they don't care. Because they kids. And you just can't always say, sit down and shut up. You got to let them be kids. You got to let them unwind. This might be helping somebody who ain't got no kids yet that's going to have some kids. You got to let them get it out. So that when 8 o'clock comes, they done got it all out. That they can go to sleep. Even if you don't get none. Right? But you done had some opium. Huh?
Amen.
And you on a high, not like this stuff they got out now, this fentanyl and all that, this stuff that'll kill you. This won't kill you. This has no after effects to it. Right? Come on. Oh, y'all just think y'all calm and peaceful on y'all own? Y'all ain't went off and swung on somebody on y'all own? No, y'all benefit from what, amen, I benefit from. Because he was crushed. He was crushed. You could be even killed. You know, you could keep it together. You benefit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because when I was in sin, buddy, we fought all the time. No, it's like, man, I ain't got time for that. I just want to relax, enjoy life, be positive, right?
Amen.
But I thank God for the crushing.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Amen.
Not Calvary, but also on a personal note.
Right?
I thank God. Because by that, amen, it causes me to express more of the God that's in me.
Yes,
right?
Right?
Amen. Because character is a victory.
Yes,
you got to go through some stuff, see? Amen. And listen, others benefit, right?
Amen.
By what we've gone through.
Right.
See, I benefit by what Brother Dale and those elder ministers, Mike Alteague and some of those guys, you know, the fights that they had, right?
Yeah.
Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to do it. And God ordained for them to do it.
Right?
And I benefit from that. I don't take that for granted. That's a blessing to me. And even in my many years of ministering, you know, sometimes I go back to the older ministers, right? And just, you know, still glean. Glory to his wonderful name. Glean from the things that you know, they might not be spinning around like the young guys, but they have so much to say, so much wisdom. You know, I don't too much run the aisles anymore and kick and stomp. But out of all the years, you know, God has given us something that we could help this oncoming generation. Right? Amen. And we could give to the younger ministers coming up and help them to see it's a lot more to it than kicking and stomping and getting the people riled up, you know, but to give them a substance, right, that when they leave the church, they could ponder over, they could think about something that'll help in their growth, right? Because when you're 20, you ain't went through much of nothing. I just have to say it like that. But by the time you get 40 and 60, you got something to say. Right, because you done went through a whole lot of stuff,
right.
like the brother who was saying this morning. I enjoyed that. It's like you get older and God quickens things to you, and you start to realize, and you know what, I need to be able to impart these things to this younger generation. Right, younger men coming up, so that they don't enter into these lives with no direction. Well, you know, yeah, she cute. She ain't had no babies. She might be a Coca-Cola today. Tomorrow she could be a 2-liter. You don't know. and he got abs and six packs, and you know, in years he got dresser drawers. You know, the pack stuff in. Right. But you have to have a knowledge. You have to have a knowledge and understand your role. And have some direction of where you're going. Not just, I'm in love, that's wonderful. But what are you doing? What's your vision? What's your vision for your family? Come on, what's your vision for your wife? Yeah, what's your vision? What are you doing? What are you going to do? How are you going to care for her? What's the necessary sacrifices that you got to make as a man in your role to make her happy? Right? Because there's more to it than that. Just sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, going to church Wednesday and Sunday. She going to need more than that, buddy. And full of children in there. You gotta have a real vision. You gotta understand. You gotta be looking at these things now. If you're not married, have a vision.
Yeah.
Where you going? Where you gonna take this? Where you know, we ultimately going in the rapture together. But you know, try to halfway have things planned out.
Right,
and then have God to lead you. But
yes,
like me, when I got married, I just wanted to be married.
Yeah.
God gave me a wonderful sister in the message, and you know, and I was, but I didn't have a clue. Because I didn't have a, I had a daddy, but he wasn't much because he didn't have a vision for my mama. And then she, you know, all of the stepdads I had, they didn't have a vision. They couldn't tell me nothing. So I walked into those things blindly. Right? And, you know, for me, I don't want for a younger generation of men, young Christian men, to do that. Always educate yourself. Keep educating yourself. Right? Every year, try to educate. That's just for, you know, also us older guys, too. We got to continue to educate ourselves and have a vision for our wives and for our families, you know, that nothing falls through the cracks. I trust that that was all right.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not a long-winded preacher. I give you about an hour and 15 hour and I'm done. You know, I learned that as you get older, you know, you don't try to, because you can't tell it all at one time. It's just too much. It's constantly be unfolding. But we trust that we were able to express a little something that was on our heart, and that you just take your portion from what was said, and you ponder it, you pray on it, and let God quicken more of it to you, and it'll benefit us. We appreciate the opportunity. We appreciate the pastors for allowing me to be here this weekend. And maybe we come back, we'll preach 3 hours. No, I don't think that's in me. I couldn't take a 3-hour message myself. Oof. I know some brothers though. When I was coming up, man, it was some of them. Some preachers would preach you, talk for 1.5 hours and say, "Let's go straight to the word." It's like, huh? What you been doing for 1.5 hours? If that wasn't the word. And then they want to go 1.5 hours. You done.
Yeah.
But we appreciate it. Let us stand. We have a word of prayer, and I turn it back over to Brother Dale. Brother Wade, Brother Dale, as the musicians will make their way. Amen. Anybody need any prayer, just show up by the lifting of hands. Y'all pray for me.
Yes.
Amen. That God will give me strength.
Yes, sir.
Gracious Father, we just thank you, oh God. You see the hands that went up this afternoon. We pray that you'll just bless your people. You know their hearts. You know their needs. I just thank you and I praise you, oh God, tonight. I appreciate you, oh God, for allowing us to be here and to be able to speak and just say something that we trust that's been encouraging. Lord, and appreciate Brother Samuel and Brother Wade this weekend and for the hospitality and the fellowship. Pray that you just continue to bless this portion of the Bride of Jesus Christ and increase their territory. Lord God, we appreciate you, oh God, tonight. We just thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's good when you come to church and you hear the word of God and you get some life lessons to go with it, because you know what? We're Christians, but we got life. What's the old saying? Life happens. But when you get eternal life, that life happens a little bit different. Let's give our brother another good hand. You know, as we're speaking on the statue of perfect man, he and I were talking about it. That takes a crushing too. It takes a crushing all the time to crush us out, so that Christ can live in. Squeeze us, I mean wring us out. And that's why good preaching, when you hear good preaching, it should release you, and it should take some of the burden off of you, and it should help you to tomorrow on Monday to go to work or to live your life just a little bit different. Because you know old Diablo, he's going to be here. You know, the devil's going to be around. But you don't have to do what he says.
Right.
You don't have to do what he says. There's no way he can make you do what he tells you to do. You have to do it willingly. So we'll just resist the devil and he'll flee from us.
Amen.
And we appreciate our brother. And let's sing a song. If anybody has a need or anything else, let's sing a couple of verses, and then we've got to get him to Atlanta to get on a plane. So let's sing a song. Let's worship just for a little bit. Yes, he was. And what did he do? He thought of me. It wasn't for him. It was for me and you. Above all, sing it to him. He was crucified. Thought of me and you. Thank you, Lord.
Crucified.
You know, the prophet of God said, he said, don't ever forget Calvary. I know we become message believers, and we should never forget what he done at Calvary. What he done at the cross gave us the opportunity to be here and give us an opportunity to hear the message of the hour. As our brother said, what greater opportunity? I know we all have opportunities to do better in our life, but man, you look out in that world and you see they never, and some of them are never even going to know who Jesus Christ is unless you tell them about him. And if we can't get to all of them, I feel sorry for them all. That's why we need to tell people about Calvary first before we tell them God sent a prophet.
Right.
Amen. God did send himself first.
Yes.
Then he sent us a prophet to give us clarity.
Yes, sir.
And to give us more revelation than the world. But not without Calvary. No. Without Jesus Christ, the Bible says you can't even know him without the Holy Ghost. And now we know how to get the Holy Ghost because God sent us a prophet. It wasn't shouting. It wasn't speaking in tongues. It wasn't shaking a hand, as our brother said. It wasn't writing on a book or writing on a piece of paper. No, it's a birth.
Yes.
It's something you have to die to get.
Amen.
If he had to die to give it to you, you got to die to get it.
Right.
You got to die to yourself and let him crush us.
Yes, sir.
You think, man, that's tough, but you know what? A crushing blow at the Garden of Eden. There was Adam. He never felt a pain in his life. Eve never felt a pain in her life. Never a heartache or a trial. The lions could walk through the kitchen and right out the back door and no problem. Right? Everything was in harmony. And then all of a sudden, something happened. It was a crushing blow to humanity. But it had to happen so that God could come and be crushed and give us eternal life. Please don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget what he did for us. And the way we show it back is we tell people. You know, Brother Brown says, tell people how you got, how your light got lit. Well, tell them how you got crushed. Tell them how God took a piece of clay. You know, Mary Magdalene, when she was at the feet of Jesus, she had a little box, right? The song, you know, about the alabaster box.
Amen.
There was no way that odor could have got out until she crushed it. That odor, no matter how sweet, no matter how odorous it was trapped inside that piece of clay until she broke the lid. And everybody smelled it because Judas was complaining about using all of it and everybody was smelling it. Only by being crushed did people get to smell the odor that was in that alabaster box. Sometimes he has to do that with us. He has to crush us. He has to give us a blow that sometimes that maybe, you know, we're not going to, we just don't feel like we're going to make it. But we're here. We got to fight. Be brave, as the song says, against all evil. Right? And keep moving forward. Keep going on with God. If you got issues in your life, just keep praying. Keep doing whatever you need to do to get that thing cleared up. We're here to help you. All we can help you. If you need help, we're here to listen to you. And you know, you take somebody like Brother Smiley and you watch even the mannerisms. You haven't lost being a pastor, you know. So you just see the mannerisms of how he doesn't so much care about your flesh. What'd Brother Dale say? He said, I ain't worried about your flesh. I ain't worried about your feelings.
Right.
I'm talking to your soul today. I'm talking to that real person down inside of you. It may cut you and hurt your feelings. But what Brother Dale always tells us, where do you tell us to put our feelings? In our pocket and sit on them. Brother Willie's smiling. He's probably hurt him if he's hurt him enough. And that's where we need to put our feelings and not let our feelings get involved. But we're human beings, and guess what? We're full of feelings from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. So we've got to what? Crush that. All that we've got to get out and let it out, and let's go on with God. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Thank you all for being here. We appreciate all of you coming. Brother Willie, again, thank you so very much. I love it. A lot of times I don't bring people here for me. I bring them for you. And I tell them, everyone, thank you for helping my people. If you can help my people, I'm not worried about nothing else. I'm not worried about me or anything else, where we went to eat or how the room was or how I got to take him 2 hours down to the airport and then 2 hours back. It's to help you guys. It's to help us all. We all benefit from that. Every one of us do. And I know Brother Smiley, he felt comfortable today, and I appreciate that he did feel comfortable and felt right at home, because that's where he was supposed to be.
Right.
He said he had to go to the bathroom, and he said, I don't want to walk down through them people. I said, they're your family.
Amen. Amen.
When I'm at home, if I got to go, I'm
going
to go. I ain't going to say, no, I got to walk past Mama, Daddy, Tim. But no, they family. I just walk right on by them and go and do what I need to do.
Amen.
Your face is red. We're going to try to do something about that. But it is kind of rough having to, if you need to go to be in there and got to walk down through here. But we're just family members. We should feel comfortable around each other.
Amen.
Even though we came from totally different mamas and totally different daddies, earthly. We came from one heavenly Father if you're born again. And we've got his genetics running through our veins now. And we've got, as Brother Brown says, we've got his potentials. As Brother Willis said, he was broke, though, so he could give us those, or he just took them all with him. No, he didn't want to do that. His whole purpose was to have a group of people that acted like him. That's what he wanted, a group of people that acted just like him. That's why he gave us a statue of perfect man. That's why he gave us 3.5 years of his life and died. And then came back and went inside of you, not to be with you, but to be in you.
Amen.
And then take complete control of your life. And we're heading toward that, right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. All minds clear?
Yes.
Y'all pray for us that there won't be any traffic.
Yes,
and we'll get down to the airport and get him back home to Okeechobee, Florida. Ain't nothing down there but a big old lake and some fishing. But we sure want him to come back again. We don't want it to be years and years, and him and Brother Jack both, that we just appreciate ministers that come in and pour their heart out. And that's what I want. They pour their heart out. They're worthy of their hire. Because it's like Brother Willie and I were talking, you know, like Dad and different ones, the older ones. It takes a toll. Brother Brown told us that one sermon was an equivalent of working 8 hours. Think of how many sermons y'all preached after your 8 hours you worked. Right? You know, Dad worked at GM, and Brother Willie, he hangs sheetrock and finishes. So he's not just got a desk job. He works hard. Thank goodness he's taller. I told him he didn't need stilts to stand on. But he said he still did wear stilts every once in a while, but he don't get on them now. He said if he'd fall, he'd hurt himself. So they won't let him on stilts anymore. So no more, he said, no more. But it was good to have Brother Smiley with us, and we appreciate him. And just pray for us. We'll get him back maybe later on in the year, but just pray for us as we go down there and pray for everybody to have a wonderful week. And come back Wednesday night, and then remember next weekend, all right, Sunday, first service will be regular service. We'll have communion, all right, and then the second service start at 2 or 2:30 if we run too long, 2 or 2:30. We'll have water baptism. We'll have a vow renewal. We'll probably have the water baptism last so that anybody wants to be baptized, they won't have to come back in wet clothes. We'll have clothes, you know, you bring your clothes, and we've got towels that we can use, but we'll do the vow renewal, we'll do the baby dedication, or if you want to just dedicate your life to the Lord all over again, then we'll have that service next Sunday afternoon. That'll be the whole service, and then we'll go have a water baptism, and then you can stay in fellowship if you want to. So just keep all that in prayer. Keep everything that you've got in your heart about your family and your friends, and I'm like Brother Willie. If we honestly had everybody that went through this church in the past 25 or 30 years, yeah, we'd have to build twice the size. Well, you think I'm running them through my head, you know, like Robbie. All right, then you got your kids, all the ones that you.
Amen.
If they're all sitting here, you know, that's what I want. I want them all sitting here. Well, if we do, then we're going to have to build a double-decker. But you know what? That's what I want. Or I wouldn't call their name, or I wouldn't want to pray for each one of the family. We're not a complete real family. You know, taking a minute, sorry, but Bob's gone and Joe's gone. There's a part of my family missing today.
Right.
And I feel that.
Amen.
Lord, I'm standing right here today and behind the pulpit. I feel that every time some of y'all are gone or leave and go somewhere. And that's okay that you do. I'm just praying you come back.
Right.
But, you know, if you go off somewhere, Anderson and Anna, I don't know if I'm going to let them go or not. And Sarah and David, I don't know if I can do without them for a couple of months. But that's family. And then Mary's going with them too. So, and Milka's not here. Who's your mama?
Virginia meetings.
Hmm?
She's at the Virginia meetings.
At the Virginia? Oh, okay. Yeah, they're having a camp meeting up there, the big tent. That's wonderful. That's good. But you miss them. We miss all of them. And we miss our family members. And I want it to be that way, that we are a tight-knit family, that we do miss. And if we do, somebody disappears, we try to find out where they go. Right? Not to be nosy, but to find out if it's, you know, family. It's family members. I want them all. We want all our family sitting around a table. Never have I seen Dad and Mom as happy as when we ever won. Now, sometimes, them bright brother and sister of mine is a little different, but when we get them all together, Mom and Dad's the happiest. I mean, so that's what it, with the Lord. He's the happiest when we're all together. He's the happiest when we're all here worshiping the Lord. We're all sitting around a table. We'll get to do that one day. Sister Cleta and I were talking today, and she was talking about remembering things. And you know, the Bible says, behold, all things will be made new. The former things will pass away. Thank God. See, we carry that with us, and that's the load that we carry, is the things we did, as Brother Willie was talking about. He can't deny his life. He knows what he was at, where he was at. But one day, that's all going to be a load gone.
Amen.
That's enough to shout about.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That all that's gone. I mean, we know it's gone already in the mind of God, but it's gone from me and you. God will so wash our brain till we have nothing but new thoughts. And we remember the good things. We'll remember we had kids. We'll remember that we had, you know, parents and things like that, because we can't forget them. Brother Brown said you'll know who you were married to. So everything's not going, it's not going to just totally blank your mind. No, you're going to remember the good things. The time you got saved. I don't think you'll ever forget the time you got saved.
Amen.
I think that's something that you'll remember and you'll know it, cherish it, and it'll be part of you. For eternity, you'll know the day that you got born again. And I appreciate the Lord for letting us keep that part. And keep the part of all the good things that we have, the good times we've had together, the talks that we've had with each other, and the fellowship to go out and eat or sitting here around a church service. Man, that was a good church service when Brother Willie came preach for us back then. Yeah, it was. Where is Brother Willie? I don't know. He's probably gone somewhere. But he'll be back in just a second. You know, travel like a thought. We'll go find him. We'll find each other, and we'll have a happy time. Just hang on, people. It's not very long, and it's not a fairy tale. This is more real than what you're sitting in today.
Amen.
That promise and assurity, it is more real than what you are now, because what we are now is going to pass away.
Amen.
You understand what I'm talking about? Amen. Not completely annihilated. You know, we know we're well taught.
Yes.
But we'll have a time to where all this will be fond memories.
Amen.
But you know what? You got to make them to be fond of them.
Amen.
You got to make those memories to be fond of them. So let's make some memories. Let's make something that we can talk about. And like I said, keep us in prayer. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this service, Lord. The past two, Lord, have been... We've heard so much wisdom, Lord, from our brother and father. I pray that we'll take it to heart and we'll become that people that have been crushed. And not so much crushed like the world's going to be crushed in judgment. But Lord, we've already been judged. We've already been crushed because of what you did at Calvary. And Lord, the little small things we have to go through is nothing compared to the glory, the Bible says. It'll be revealed in us. Lord, I pray that you give everyone traveling mercies. Be with each one, Lord, as they go home, travel on the highways. Be with the ones that are away from us, Brother Bob and Brother Joe, and the different ones that are traveling, Sister Mary. All the different ones that are not here, Sister Johnny. All the different ones, Lord, I pray that you would be with them and give them comfort, Lord. Be with Brother Willie, Lord, as we go to the airport, Lord, and there won't be any traffic, no wrecks, nothing to hinder us to get our brother down there, Lord, and get him back to his natural home for a time being, Lord. And I pray that we'll be able to call him back, and Lord, he can be able to stay with us for a weekend and enjoy, Lord, the fellowship around the Word of God. Father, forgive us of our sins and our mistakes that we make, Lord. Just be with us now as we go forth into this world. You told us in John 17, you didn't say, Father, take them out of this world. Because we're going to do that one day. But you said, Lord, you said, Father, while they're in this world, be with them. While they're in this world, take care of them. And that they may be one as you and I are one. Lord, I just pray that we become more one with you, Father. That we'll see the headship of the Word and we'll all get under that, Lord. And we won't be like the first Eve where she fell. We're not going to fall. This second Eve will not fall. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me a part of being with that second Eve that will not fall. Just bless each one. Be with Brother Jack, Lord, and the church down there in West Palm Beach, that you'll be with them and bless them. Bless the bride around the world. Be with the missionaries on the foreign fields, Lord. Brother Landland, different ones have sent us messages that everything's going well and they're taking the message to different parts of the Philippines. And Brother Danny and the different ones, we pray that you would just be with them, Lord. Give them safe journey, Father. And until we come back on Wednesday night, may you give us safe journey, Father. We ask all these things in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.